testimony of Joshua, starting the situation with the elders. And okay, so clarification of Romans 14, I was just bringing up. Discussed this extensively many times. Brother Tracy just covered this topic in teaching on legalism. Now, this is a third point. So we have the first two points in Matthew 18, the secrecy of other elders, and then Romans 14. Let me just read the passage to you. And then we can talk about it briefly and expand on my view of it. One who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, no one dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose, lived again, and he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in a brother's way. And then it goes on to the law of love. Of course, I agree with what Brother Tracy taught about this. But if we love each other, we should be able to have room to think and discuss these deep issues, because without being able to do that, we don't get growth. Growth is stunted. And one thing, I'm not sure if the elders have considered this, that when we, the way we used to meet, we would all come around the table and talk about theological things for, you know, hours, yeah, around the table.
Right here, I remember right? Being here.
But that's like changed now. Now we're focused on basketball and volleyball. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's not a sin. But where is the openness to dialogue about different things? I don't get that anymore. I feel like, you know, and this is a feeling, but my impression or my feeling is that we're not doing it. There's not an openness to discuss those things anymore. There's a stifling of it. And because if I have some doctrine that people are not used to hearing, and I bring it up, like these things that Jeremy's bringing up, I take offense, I put the defenses up, when I don't need to do that. I just, if we're all open with each other, hey, let's take a look at Jeremy's videos and see what we think is right or wrong about it. And they lead us, and we watch the videos, and it's right or it's wrong, and what do you guys think, and well, I don't watch videos. Okay, you don't have to watch videos. Romans 14. You're not led to watch videos? That's fine. You don't have to watch videos. But if you're led to watch videos and you want to learn more about a particular thing, okay, then let's look at it. And should we judge our brother about that? No. What I believe Jeremy was doing was, from a pure heart, trying to expose things about different artists that need to be exposed, that we need to be aware of. And so that we don't support those things and don't pour our money into things that are non-profitable. Now, of course, the argument then becomes, well, John, you're being legalistic about music and the very thing we taught about three times. So, well, each of us is going to give an account to God. And if I can't be legalistic towards you about, you know, what movies and stuff you're watching, you can't be legalistic towards me and say I can't discuss the very thing that you're calling legalistic.
You might want to say it again, but yeah, I think you were doing
good.
Let me
try to say it again. So if I have a doctrine that teaches that Christian contemporary music or Christian so-called movies are ungodly and we shouldn't watch them. I have a teaching about it. And the purpose of it is love, to show my brothers, listen, there's some problems here. And my brothers are being, feeling, maybe not being, but feeling condemned, feeling convicted, or feeling, I don't really care. They're apathetic about it. Whatever the impressions they get from the movie. Do not judge your brother. These are doubtful things, right? So we shouldn't be putting a legalism label on Jeremy and praying that he should be returned to the Lord and things like that, because we shouldn't judge him. We don't have a right to. He's going to stand to the Lord for everything he does and says. Now, as a fellowship, we could agree, or we all could, all the men in the fellowship could sit down and agree, well, we shouldn't watch movies, or we shouldn't listen to contemporary Christian musician. You all sit down and agree with that. Or you say, you can watch whatever you want. Oh, now I have liberty. Brother, there's dangers in this. Well, Jeremy's being told that what he's being taught is dangerous. Now, I would submit that maybe the looseness of our thinking or the looseness of our standards is dangerous thinking. That's dangerous as well. So, in a nutshell, I think they're both in danger. Jeremy's in danger of maybe being condemning people, being kind of harsh in his tones and things like that. So people are getting the impression they're condemned. And then on the other side of the coin is we're making it so liberal that people just go, well, I have liberty, brother. I can go watch what I want. I can go watch Marvel comics. I can go watch this. You can't judge me. I have... Okay, well, according to Romans 14, you're right. I can't judge you. You're going to give an account to God. But if you're in our local assembly, if you're in our local church, the ecclesia here, which is a point they would agree with, then we can examine those that are within and say, you know, listen, we don't agree with that. But we should all be able to communicate it back and forth. Koreans, we're studying it, thinking about it. I'm still praying about it, brother. Thinking about, it's kind of hard. I don't think I'm going to go that way. And so that, I mean, that Romans 14 could apply across the board to other preachers, other ministries we're associating ourselves with, all these kinds of things, that if the elders are the ones that are determining the standard for legalism, if they are the ones that are determining, instead of all of us in agreement with the elders as they lead us and teach us, as they serve us, if we come in agreement to all these things that they're teaching, and say, well, you know, I got a question about that. What about these filthy movies that I could be watching? Well, I shouldn't walk along the edge of hell. Well, shouldn't we be warning each other about the edge of hell? Say, hey, man, that movie's wicked. That's going to stir up passions in you. You need to decide not to watch that. I exhort you to seek the Lord and not watch that. Yeah, we're getting rid of the TV, man. I'm so convicted about these things. The TV, all that stuff is going, man. And I can't. Now, I wouldn't put that on anybody else. I wouldn't say because some other family in fellowship has a TV or has some DVDs that they're condemned. You all have handled this very well, by the way. Back to Romans 14. But if I can apply Romans 14 to a TV, I can apply Romans 14 to this particular situation or that particular situation. Listen, you can't have association with them. Have we rebuked them? Have we talked to them? Have we done some kind of Matthew 18 godly cross? Don't we care about their souls? We should care about their souls. Especially the open air preachers out there. If Dean Saxon's out there eating Korans. Is anybody talking to Dean Saxon? He's out there eating Korans in front of Muslims, provoking them to kill him. And they probably will try to, but is anybody warning him he's doing something wrong? Or we just shrug our shoulders and go, well, that's Dean, you know. And there's no Matthew 18 process to involve. He's not a brother. I think the openness is what's needed. I'm not interested to bring a two-person rebuke against the elders. I ask you to hear my testimony, because if it does end up that we are led to part of the fellowship, fellowship, but I wanted to make sure that my duty to the fellowship was done in informing people of these, the first two major concerns. The Romans 14 concern is something that could be discussed in dialogue and debated about, but the Matthew 18 scenario and the secret elders is something that will divide us and not divide the fellowship. I'm talking about dividing my family from the fellowship. And I believe that strongly about it. And I think maybe I haven't communicated as well as I should have in the past, in the sense that I'm not trying to take away any authority they have as elders at all. I'm not trying to say they don't have authority in the ecclesia, as we all hear these things that are would be testified about from a particular set of witnesses against the accused. Not at all. They would lead us to right conclusions as they allow us to communicate and dialogue and question and all these things. So those two main points there are, it's been 2 years, brother, at least 2 years, I believe. And at this point, they're not willing to even dialogue with me about it. We had set up a meeting for Saturday, yesterday at 10 o'clock, and they decided they were led of the Lord not to meet with me. And if that's Lord leading them to do that, okay. The Lord led me to meet with you, to give you my testimony, you know, before, you know, whatever. I guess that I would just ask you to pray about it for the next week. Examine that material. I'll send you a copy of this audio. I have other emails and things that I can send you as part of the evidence of the situations that have happened. At some point, if you're in agreement, if you're not in agreement, then you need to go to the elders and say, John has come to me and told this, and I don't agree with what he's saying. You need to talk to him. If you're in agreement with me, then I would ask that we arrange a meeting for the two of us to go talk to them. And that's not going to be easy. Basically, I would just keep my mouth shut and let you ask them the questions that the Lord leads you to ask them. And I would just be there, because I've asked them tons of questions about this, and I cannot get satisfied with the answers they're giving me. So, anyway, it's 7 years I've known Kerrig and been in fellowship with him, and prayed for him for 2 years before I joined him in fellowship. Just, you know, I have to seek the Lord, man. I have to follow the Lord in this, and I would feel compromised. My conscience has been burdening me for a while now, so about these things. And it's caused a lot of problems in my relationships with other people outside of our fellowship, because I'm trying to live out their directions, and I'm trying to abide by what they want me to do, and I don't feel led of the Lord to do some of those things. Whatever their direction might be, I'm not trying to be rebellious, but I'm not trying to be rebellious. I can say but. I'm not trying to be rebellious. There are things that I think they're putting upon me personally that are not, they're related to Romans 14, that is legalistic for them to put it upon me and say, you can't have association with this one or that one because they're divisive, or they teach this or teach that. Well, that's your opinion of them. That's the way you view them. And for you, you'll stand or fall before God. And you're shepherding the church. I'm not going to bring their doctrine in here. I agree with our doctrine. I'm not going to bring once saved, always saved in here because I happen to be hanging out with a Baptist preacher all weekend. The Lord's called me to go preach, and I'm going to do that. And that's, you know, unless the Lord sits me down in the corner, I'm going to do what he told me to do 10 years ago and keep doing it. And the way that I believe he's leading me to do it. So I guess that's the culmination of my testimony. I appreciate your patience to listen. Do you have any questions? Or
I'm sure we'll have some questions after I study.
Digested it, yeah.
I think I did actually have a couple of questions here.
Sure. that's not something they've communicated to me. That's my impression. That's not in that email. It may be a wrong impression. It may be a wrong. I can't assert that as truth. I believe that might be one of the reasons why they may not want to. It's either that, but they might lose people. Maybe there's some distrust as to our ability to handle that type of situation. I don't really know. I don't think they've explained why they think it should be this way, other than we got this from this other elder. And if there was openness, I could hear from that elder, I could hear from them, they could explain to me, I would understand it, I would digest it, I'd submit to it.
And that's why you said open, being open and honest kind of environment, mm-hmm. more, or at least more of that,
yeah.
would relieve
that pressure.
That
right.
Pressure.
Yeah, sure would.
Do these emails that you printed out for me mm-hmm. have dates on them to find me?
Yeah. I'll check. I'm not sure if they do or not. If they don't, I can get ones that do. Yeah, this one was sent out just yesterday, Saturday.
Okay.
And then I'll also send you the emails that they sent to Jeremy. If you wanted, really, Jeremy is... like I've discussed with my wife, Jeremy's kind of like, Jeremy and Sarah kind of like a branch of the Matthew 18 problem. The root, I believe, of this issue is the Matthew 18 misapplication.
Okay.
I don't think they're doing it out of a motive of sin. I think they're doing it out of heart of love for what they think, or if somebody has counseled them is the right way to do it. I just disagree with it. I will not submit our family to it anymore. So they may be asking me to leave based on that one thing. So, and then of course the secrecy thing is the other. Those are the prime two things. And then Romans 14 is a third point, but that's not as critical as the other two. The other two are very critical. The third is something I'm willing to discuss and understand better. You know, and so how I can behave and how I can work with different, because there's lots of ministries out there and they're calling and emailing and I want to help them. I want to be a part of their work for the Lord. At the same time, I there's some constraints there that I don't think need to be there. So.
Regarding, are you done?
Yeah, sorry.
Regarding Romans 14,
mm-hmm.
What is your... how does that apply to things? I'm just listening an example just for.
No, ask the hard questions, brother. You're fine. Interrogate me. Ask the hard questions.
So it's not, it has to do with any specific person, or we're just talking about topics here. So, like, does Romans 14 apply to, someone who is grieved by, or thinks fingernail polish or toenail polish is worldly? Let's say someone believes that way. Mm-hmm. Does Romans 14 then mean that all the people that are fellowshipping with that person can't wear?
Well, I think it's a good question. I think that's where Romans 14, obviously it has specific things. It's talking about food and it's talking about Sabbath day. So those are some really important things, especially in the Jewish culture. And so what we're talking about now is some things that are culture. Fingernail polish is culture. I don't prefer it for my wife and my daughters, but my oldest daughter, she's married now, and she wears fingernail polish. Well, it's not Joshua's fault. She wants to wear it too, so it's both of them wanting to wear that. Now, I don't consider that a sin. That's a preference. That's a preference. But I do think it's worldly looking, at least. It's at least looking like the world. Now, can I condemn them for that? Absolutely not. I can't condemn them for that. I don't see any passage in the Bible that says, thou shalt not wear fingernail polish. It just says, do not appear to be worldly. Now, there is a passage that says, no braided hair or gold. So, is braided hair, is that something we shouldn't do? That's a good question. I mean, there's a specific verse about it. And so, but my girls braid their hair. I haven't really thought about it. I'm not convicted about that. I don't know why it doesn't seem to concern me, but I don't have that conviction. And so there has to be a conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you were to bring it up to me, like, brother, I think this might be sin for your family, I'd start looking at it. But wait a minute, you'd be legalistic for saying that. You may be termed legalistic. If the person is offended, if there's an offense that comes in, the person gets a little prickly and defensive and emotional, and now they want to solve the problem instead of just, okay, well, I'm convicted of the Holy Ghost and I need to stop having braided hair. Again, Romans 14 applies in all those kinds of areas, whether it's music or TV, DVDs, fingernail polish. I would just kind of lump all the cultural stuff that could be divisive between us in there. Now, obviously, there has to be some standard of modesty that we all come to agreement on. And if we don't, then maybe we need to start a new fellowship or have a new fellowship. But this person goes off and they seek people that are like-minded, they can walk with them. Now, I think any person that calls those things sins is stepping beyond the Bible. And, so if a person is doing those things, obviously, you might want to consider it looks a little worldly. And, we want to give no appearance of evil. We want to set no evil thing before our eyes. Well, how do you interpret that again? You think watching this movie or that movie, putting evil before your eyes, you think that's okay? Well, that person might get offended. And they say, well, this person's being legalistic with me. Instead of talking to the person that offended them, according to their view, they run to the elder and say, this guy's being legalistic, you know? And now we have this little tattletale program going on instead of the Matthew 18 program, which is part of the whole issue here. So Romans 14 it's connected in there.
It certainly is. I'm not sure if you understood
the question.
My question. Okay, try it again. So my question was not specific to fingernail polish. It was just being given as an example of a situation where somebody believes something is sin or shouldn't do it,
right.
And then the other people don't.
Right.
Okay, and so like Paul saying, if it grieves my brother about eating meat, I'm not going to eat meat again.
Right.
So that's what my question is about. Is okay, this person isn't saying that everybody else is sinning. They're not saying that.
Right.
They're just saying, it seems to me like we shouldn't be doing this, that this is wrong. I'm not doing it. I'm not saying you guys are all going to hell,
right.
But this is what I believe. And so should all those other people then not wear fingernail polish or not show their breasts with their clothing or whatever it may be.
Thank you for that clarification. Of course I agree with that because that's in that passage. It's in the passage that in other passages that if we are stumbling our brother, then we shouldn't be doing that. If my meat stumbles you, I shouldn't eat it. Is my food stumbling you? Is me worshiping on Sunday stumbling you? Maybe we can meet on Saturday. But that's open discussion, right? That's open dialogue, open interaction. I think these things are maybe a little bit too worldly looking. Do you mind if you guys don't wear it while we're together, while we go out preaching? I'm not condemning you for it. If that's what you think the Lord wants you to wear, that's fine. I'm not going to, you're going to stand to the Lord, not to me. But shouldn't we just be as modest as we can be, or just shouldn't we just try to, and then if, you know, just as a matter of your brother. And then, of course, they could say that to you too. Well, I really think this is important. I wear fingernail polish, and especially on outreaches. And you know, I have liberty to do that. Would you be okay with me having that liberty? And I said, okay, I guess so. So the blade cuts both ways. I mean, whether it's legalism this way or legalism that way, it does. It's Romans 14 allows that, because it's telling both parties, listen, you should bear with your brother and not do what offends him. Right? If let's say we had this thing in the military called public demonstration of affection, PDA. You ever heard of it?
No.
Okay, well PDA is where people will, you know, they'll take and just, they hug each other and they, I mean, get really intimate in front of
affection. Their
public affection, yeah. Okay. And so it's against the rules. So in my military training, I'm trained to that. It's still there. And so when people do that, I go, oh, man. But, I mean, husbands and wives have natural affection for each other. Should I bust on my brother because he's being affectionate toward his wife in front of everybody? No, I shouldn't do that. But if I'm that offended by it, I should go to him privately. Brother, you know, can you kind of cool it in front of my children? You know, if my children to watch such a thing in a movie, they would turn their heads from it because I don't want them watching that. But the context is I'm a married brother. I'm married, brother. Don't you understand? I can have this affection of my wife. He said, yeah, I understand, but it's sensual. It is sensual. You have to admit that. It's sensual, right? And so say the people on the screen, they're married. I still have my children turn away from it because I don't want their sexuality to be stirred up. I want them to leave it asleep. And so I either don't watch the movie at all or I have them turn their heads if they see such a thing. Well, everybody's turning their heads, you know. So what should I do? Should I talk to my brother about it? Should my brother consider my point of view and maybe, you know, change his behavior a little bit, just kiss his wife outside when it's a little more private moments instead of in front of all the children? I don't know. I mean, you could make an argument for, well, our children should know how to treat, you know, husband and wife, how they treat each other, and gentle and caressing. I agree with that in a sense, but they're going to figure that out after they're married. There's God's got all the things in place to make that happen after they're married. So, you know, that's my opine. That's my position, you know.
I think this is, if it's okay to interrupt, I think this is a very good example of why being open and being able to talk about these things is important. Because I had no idea about that.
Right.
As far as, like, I can, when you were talking, I was thinking, oh, you know, I've never had a super duper kiss around here, but I have shown affection publicly to my wife, and so I thought, well, you know, that made me think about that. Mm-hmm. Not in, I don't feel condemned.
Right.
I don't feel convicted. I didn't have the knowledge of it.
Right.
But now that I have the knowledge, yeah, I can now be aware that
it might be an issue for some people.
It might be something that I shouldn't do.
Right.
And so I think that's a good example of communication.
Right.
It's, you know, we have a family. We're kind of like a family here, right? So a relationship. Mm-hmm. Is what is implied right. by family, and communication, as you know, as a married person, is very important in a relationship.
Right.
And so.
And I haven't, I have not always been a very good communicator with people. I get excited sometimes, and I'll say things the wrong way, or, you know, the Lord's really working on me about being very, you know, even and moderate in the way I speak and make sure I sometimes I don't even realize I'm having these facial expressions that they're kind of, I don't want to keep blaming the military, but certainly the military has influence there when you live a life for 21 years and now, you know, I got changed by the Lord and it's joined my heart, but there's still this leftover stuff that's happening. And my wife just told me yesterday, maybe it was today, she said, honey, sometimes you walk in the room and you look like you're just angry at everybody. I'm going, I'm just thinking about things. I'm just wondering about something, or I'm meditating in my heart. I'm puzzled about something. I'll look like this, right? And it's all scrunched up in my eyebrows. And people, God knows my heart. I'm not angry at anybody. I'm just, or somebody will, the children will do something. And I'll say, Malachi, don't do that. And be kind of sharp, you know. So why did I say it that way? I shouldn't speak that sharply to someone else's child or even maybe my own child. But so the Lord's really working on me about that, how I communicate, making sure I'm very moderate, even-toned, and also the things that I communicate in my speech. Speak less, better. Thank you.
Well, I don't know if you might be quite like me, but so back to what I was saying about Romans 14. Mm-hmm. I think the word in there is grieves, my brother. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food.
So, if I'm grieved about whatever conduct is going on.
So, I guess that might, I'm not bringing this up because I see some flaw in anybody's.
Sure.
I'm just bringing it up. I think that's one of the things I'm going to look into. Because to me, if I see someone doing things that I don't feel is okay to do, right? But I don't have any specific, clear verse against it, right? Then it's not encouraging,
right?
Especially if it's a lot of people doing it, right? A lot of people, mm-hmm. and I'm the only one or few that doesn't think people should do it. It's not an encouraging thing, and so it's discouraging. But the question is being discouraged about that is that the same thing as being grieved? Grief seems like it'd be a stronger,
very strong word, yeah.
Word, and
yeah. Yeah, I agree. Very strong word. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's the same thing, brother. Or if you've come to that conclusion, so. I think discouraged is just maybe you're not being edified, maybe, but definitely not grieved. Grieved is you're really, really downhearted about a certain thing. Like this situation, I've been grieved for a couple of years. People, they may see me and say, well, why is, looks like John has something on his heart, his mind, what's going on? This has been on my heart, my mind for a long time. And I've been bearing this and desiring and they say in their email they've talked to me many times about it. And I know they talked to me one time for maybe an hour, maybe a little bit longer, an hour and a half, maybe. I wasn't satisfied with their answers then, and I would, you know, talk to them individually in a group, and they would say, well, we've already talked to you about this, and we don't need to talk about it anymore, and they got to that place. And so I, when they say they talked to me about it many times, I, okay, if you say so, I don't feel like that's the case. But you mean, have I brought it up many times? Yes, I've brought it up many times. Have we talked about it many times? I don't believe so. No. So I believe I only had one time I got to talk to him really in depth. It was not, definitely not. I guess it was at that time that I should have really done this, but you know, if they would not hear it anymore from me, that I would bring my concerns to somebody else and let us talk to them about it, not in the interest of trying to divide or anything like that, but just in the interest of trying to get to some truth here. And Brother Pat has been very grieved about things that he's seen, and I very concerned. And so, you know, I have been in a conundrum for a while now. So I'm hopefully looking forward to reconciliation about this and agreement with them about that. So these things, I'm not looking for resolution, because I'm not looking to agree to disagree with them, and then I can just be quiet about my concerns. I'm not looking for resolution like they have with Jeremy. I'm looking for reconciliation to ideas that I think are honest and open and truth. Part of my testimony as well. I counseled with 4 different men of God besides yourself, mature brothers, before coming to this place of talking to you. I've been praying about it for 2 years. I've been praying about it for the last weeks since I knew all these things were going on with Jeremy. I knew when they were going on with Jeremy, I knew I would have to take steps that I don't want to take, you know, necessarily in confronting the elders with a disagreement about their views, because they are an authority and I respect their authority. I believe they have jurisdiction over our fellowship, and I'm not trying to bring any division in, but just trying to assure that we all stay unified in spirit, and in doing that, we can walk together. You know, so
I'm looking to see if I had other questions noted on my notes.
I was going to add a thought that I, you know, I know I said I was going to send you the emails from Jeremy, but I don't think maybe. I don't really want that to be the focus, because I see that as a branch of the problem. I think the focus just needs to be questions about Matthew 18 and the counseling they're getting from an unknown source and the Romans 14. Of course, Jeremy might come up in it, but I don't want to give you a bunch of, I don't even want to rehash all that stuff, you know, because I think Romans 14 applies to all of it. I don't think Jeremy's in sin according to what he believes. I don't think they're in sin according to what they believe. But there's polar opposites here, and there's a danger for both of them, both groups, you know. And I'm motivated by love. I see it as a duty I have to start this process with somebody else, because they won't speak to me anymore, basically. I'll send you, you have that hard copy, but I'll send you an electronic copy of that email, my questions to them and their responses. And I suppose one way you could start seeking the Lord how you want to deal with this is wherever they say, we've talked to you about this many times, that would be an area that you want to ask the question, well, what did you talk about, and what do you mean by clarification? And what in these areas, what do you all mean by Matthew 18? And so, if they say, well, we run the show, and people can ask questions, or people are involved, both sides of the story get to be told. And no, we don't mean just the elders might bring a witness or might bring an accusation against somebody, because obviously, biblically, they can't even say that, because, you know, if we have an elder who is in sin, there has to be two witnesses against him before you, two to three witnesses, and so those witnesses come before the ecclesia against the elder. And therefore, you would see that it can't just be the elders. It can't be, because in that situation, well, it would be our other two elders. It could be. I agree with that. But it doesn't just say that. It's not what it explicitly doesn't say that. So you can't assume that where the Bible is silent, that we don't want to add in our traditions or add in our thinking. Though I don't want to involve Jeremy's situation in this, I don't think they gave him a fair shake. You know, so that's my opinion based on the limited things I've heard from them and the lot of information I've heard from Jeremy.
Thank you. I was just noticing that the word admonition is in Titus 3:10, mm-hmm. And instead of the word rebuke, and I was thinking about the differences between admonish and rebuke.
Yeah, I don't think it's much different. It's like, what's the difference between reproof and rebuke? They're both corrections. They're both seeking to get the person to turn from that thinking. But it would be good to check on that, right? And it says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Okay, so let's go back to the first part of it. And they quoted this about Jeremy, okay? But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law. So, we did a teaching, did a contending about the law in response to what happened with Jeremy. I mean, didn't we apply this to ourselves? Of course, I believe we should look into these ideas. But if we say we have legalism on this side, on the other side of the sword, do we have legalism over there? The answer is very well could. The question is, are we going to be honest enough with ourselves to recognize it? So, the foolish dispute would be, okay, is it foolish to dispute about movies? Yep, it's foolish to dispute about that. Could you talk about it? Should be able to. Contention, or genealogy, don't even think we need to talk genealogies. I've never heard people contend or dissent about the genealogy contentions. And strivings about the law. Of course, if we're mistreating our brother in the way we're talking to him, and we're not, from a motive of love, we're not talking to them in a way that helps them understand, here's a different view or a different position, then I would apply all that, right? But if you're just talking to people about ideas, just talking to them about open theism or whatever it is, and they say they come under conviction or even they feel condemned, well, they just tell the brother, listen, buddy, you're making me feel condemned. I don't know why you think that telling me I can't I have braided hair is a good thing. Well, who are you to judge me? See, I mean, that's how it can get really silly. And so we shouldn't dispute about things that don't have, they're very superficial things that we shouldn't be dealing with. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Yep, if I'm seeking to divide, if I'm seeking to unify through understanding and the truth, then we shouldn't be calling a person divisive because they're trying to bring clear understanding. Because, again, that sword can cut both ways. Was Brother Tracy in teaching about legalism, was he trying to be divisive about Jeremy? You could say that. Jeremy could say that. Say, well, you know, he's trying to teach me about something I don't think he'd been taught about. And he said things in his teachings that Jeremy didn't say. Anyway, that's, like I said, that's all.
You don't want to focus on the Jeremy one.
Yeah, don't want to focus on the Jeremy thing.
Just the underlying,
the underlying root that is. And it goes, like I said, I looked back on it. I didn't realize it before. I thought about the Franklins, because they were the first. And I thought about the Holbrooks, but I actually didn't think about, the Romans are there, Isaiah's there. And, of course, they had their own self-will. They did their own things the wrong way, and I'm sure the elders were trying to deal with that the best way they could. But if I saw somebody sinning, I should deal with it individually. And I regret Isaiah. I had some concerns about him. I didn't go talk to him about it. I didn't know anything. I just saw him taking selfies and that kind of stuff. I wonder what's going on with him over there. And I should have gone and talked to him, not about sin, but, hey, brother, you okay? Is there something going on here? I'm not trying to gossip about it, but I just had some concerns, and I didn't do it. I should have done it. I didn't do it. This is, maybe a month or so before. I saw him on his phone a lot. Over here, especially, he'd be on his phone, just constantly on his phone. And so, what are you doing? I asked you guys not to bring your phones over here. And how people get defensive, especially if they're living in some kind of sin, they get really defensive. And this is just a month or so before everything was exposed. We were on vacation up in North Carolina on Blue Ridge Parkway, and got a call from Kerrigan about him departing from the faith. And we are our brother's keeper. We are responsible. Listen, okay, go watch that movie. You've got liberty. Go listen to that music. You got liberty. I'm not trying to be a legalist, but we should be willing to warn each other that there's problems with these things and openly talk about it, not be divisive about it, not be contentious about it. And everybody in the fellowship, it's always been a trademark, I think, of our meetings, is that we can be like Bereans. We can ask questions. There's no threat to open a discussion, and there shouldn't be any area that we can't do that in. So that would include people among us that have done something sinful and need to be corrected. It's the same thing. And when you have secrets, it causes problems. That's all there is to it. And there's a bunch of secret meetings and secret consultations. And why not just have it open? It should be open. And, I don't know.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I ramble on too much.
So going to the Isaiah example, you are feeling that if there was more of an open environment, then talking to someone like Isaiah would be more likely to happen. Not to say that, Isaiah, I think you're sinning. You're just out of concern because you're seeing some changes,
right,
wanting to make sure that they're doing okay and they're not at the beginning of a slippery slope down.
Right.
Not to accuse them, but just
sure.
Hear.
Well, a couple of dynamics there. First, Isaiah was still a minor, so I would have had to go talk to Kevin first, which I think would be appropriate. I wouldn't want people talking to, you know, adults talking to my children or other children talking to my children about sin that they might think they're in without first at least letting me know, hey, listen, I have this concern about X, Y, and Z. I'd like to talk to Daniel about it, or I'd like to talk to whoever about it. And I'd say, thanks, brother, I appreciate it. Please do. Yeah, go talk to them, give them your counsel. And then let me know how they respond. I want to hear what they have to say.
Okay.
And to answer your question, though, I don't think that's my point. My point is I just felt bad, not because it wasn't an open-ended environment. We've been in our dynamic has changed, you know, because it's changed. We're a little bit bigger than we were, and I recognize that we're not, you know. We're not the same as we were, which is a good thing, and maybe in this case, the Matthew 18 case, is not such a good thing. But I'm sorry, but I'm tired. Can you ask the question again, please?
Regarding Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
you're showing, you're expressing that you regret not talking to him, just not to condemn him, not to say that he was doing anything wrong, but just to be able to talk about what's going on in his life, not to even specifically talk about the selfies he was doing, but just, and not to talk about or warn him, you know, you really want to be cautious with selfies because they can really be a temptation, blah, blah, blah. You're thinking more of an open environment would promote conversation that would help us keep each other.
Yep, that's very succinctly said. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. Yes, open discussion about our likes and dislikes according to the culture. The culture is very wicked, and the culture and the devils want to influence us. And so Isaiah was influenced. Now, I can't tell you exactly what influences happened. I'm thankful that Kevin, that the Holy Spirit revealed things to him, that he was able to get in there and do the things that he had to do as a dad. And I so appreciate that example. But, you know, it is in hindsight that I say those things about Isaiah. I wish I had done that because I look back. But, man, I saw this and I didn't say anything. I saw that and I didn't say anything. And I should have. I should have, you know, after talking to Kevin, I should have gone and said, listen, Isaiah, I'm kind of concerned about these things. You want to share with me? Is something going on? And, you know, you have enough one-to-ones like that with people and they're all asking you what's going on. You might open up to somebody you trust. And that is back to that open-ended honesty. We're able to talk about any subject we want without fear of being labeled a legalist. You know, it's a matter of love. We love each other. Now, I know these elders love us. I get that. We love them. We love each other. And this is just a kind of a spiritual furball, so to speak, in this. I don't know why I can't communicate to what I'm sure is right. I'm sure it's right. And, you know, if they can show me why it's wrong, then I'm willing to hear it. But I don't believe they've shown me that. And, you know, if it takes, I mention it again. But anyway, so it is out of my love for them and my love for the fellowship that I would even do this, man. It's really stretching. So, I love you guys.
Well, I think at this point we have to study and pray and
church. And that's why I hope you would say. And of course, if you find things that support what they're saying, then please tell me that I might lay this thing to rest. You know, if you find some scriptures say, look, this is what the elders would be thinking, this is why. And are you willing to submit to that? Of course, I'm going to surrender to God's word every time as I understand it. And I think that's, you know, it's that important. So, anyway, I appreciate it, brother.